From Washington, D.C., this is The Tightrope. I'm your host, Dan Smolin. Our mission on this podcast is to help you realize your dreams of doing meaningful work. Here you'll meet and be inspired by amazing people who overcame great odds. You'll discover what sparked them, how they explored work opportunities, the strategies that they employed to ensure career success, and the actions that they boldly took to make it all happen. You'll also meet esteemed and nationally recognized thought leaders who are helping people like you to develop work skill, experience, and leadership, and seize opportunity from a changing world so that your beautiful work dreams turn into reality. Together, let's turn work meaningful, for meaningful work is the future of work. Today on the Tightrope Podcast, we present another of our Between the Seasons episodes, during which we will take a step or two back from the style and format of our seasonal episodes, but also explain to you the why of what we do. We will get current with issues that affect people in the workforce seeking meaningful work, but also to shine a light on the work that we do on the Tightrope Podcast to make your journey to meaningful work both rewarding and successful. Coming up, we chat with Jake Mitchell. He is the founder of Serenity Labs and the host and producer of the Conscious Leader podcast. Both entities are mission-driven to help impact entrepreneurs become conscious leaders. But before we get to our interview with Jake, we want to thank you for being a part of the Tightrope. We hope that you like the guests that we have featured and appreciate all the changes that we have made to our format to make your podcast experience a pleasurable yet informative one. One area where we could really use your help is in building our audience. If you enjoy The Tightrope, we ask that you tell 5 friends about us. They can subscribe to us by keywording The Tightrope with Dan Smolin wherever they get podcasts. Our best promotional vehicle is you, and we truly appreciate all that you do and continue to do to help us build our listenership. Thank you. But first, we are still in January, and yet it feels like 2020 has gone on for months. There is so much crisis going on in the world that it often seems difficult to mute all of the noise so that we can process the signal. Our guest today, Jake Mitchell, thinks that one way to live and work more meaningfully and to lead more joyful lives is to make sure that we schedule plenty of time for play within our busy work week. Jake asks us all to determine, what is play for me, and what brings me joy? Whatever it is, going to the theater, attending an art exhibit, or doing something that Jake does called disc golf can lead us all to greater productivity, but also greater creativity. And he's onto something. My wife and I just enjoyed a couple of days in New York City where we did nothing but play. Our time there included a glorious day exploring the newly reimagined Museum of Modern Art and an evening performance of the Broadway musical Beetlejuice. We tuned out our social media, muted our electronic devices, tuned out the noise in our lives, and completely lived in the moment. Our only regret? That we didn't stay longer. So our advice is Jake's advice. Take time to play, doing whatever it is that makes you feel blissful. For when we feel joy, the impact of our meaningful work truly resonates with the world, with people and the communities where they live. Our challenge on the Tightrope Podcast is to help people find and do meaningful work. But we also hope to poke the bear, to get thought leaders in business, academia, and public service to rethink the role of work in society so that people doing it are productive, earn a good living, and most of all, live their dreams. So thank you all for walking the tightrope with us in 2020 and in the years to follow. Please let us know what you think of our podcast, offer up some story ideas and potential guests, or just say hello. Send us a tweet to @DanSmolin or pop us an email at info@dansmolin.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Here now, our conversation with Jake Mitchell of Serenity Labs and the Conscious Leader podcast. We spoke to him over Skype from his offices in Boulder, Colorado. Jake Mitchell, welcome to the Tightrope.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Before we get into the work that you currently do, I'm hoping that you'll take us back in time to when you were young, settling into bed after a day at school or play. What did you dream about being when you were all grown up?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to be honest, I actually thought about this earlier, and there was, you know, a bunch of different things I wanted to be, and I wasn't too fixed on anything. I, you know, at one point, of course, you know, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. I played baseball. And then a little later, I wanted to be an orthodontist, actually, believe it or not, and then a doctor. And then, you know, it kind of changed with my feelings, which I think resonates with me and my work today. I'm a very creative person and very in the moment. And, but I do, something I do remember when I was young, I remember going to bed at night and thinking about the universe. I remember thinking deeply about just the size of the universe. And I remember thinking, you know, it was expanding and expanding. You know, I would start with Earth, and then I'd go to the solar system, and then I'd go, you know, to the galaxy, and then multiple, and I just keep going. And to be honest, it freaked me out. I was fascinated, and it freaked me out. I just couldn't fathom, you know, I don't think any human can really fathom how massive the universe is. And that really fascinated me. I don't know what that was. I think that was like a beginning of a kind of a meditative thing I did before bed, but also just the pure fascination for the natural world and the world that we live in. So there wasn't anything ever gung-ho that I wanted to be professionally. Like I said, it changed. Yeah. But I think naturally I just kind of had this entrepreneurial attitude of always wanting to create. I remember talking to my friends in elementary school about, we had ideas for video games. I'd huddle them around, I'd take out a piece of paper, and I'd say, okay, what are we working on today? Okay, that's right, we're working on this game. What do we want? And, you know, what do we want the game to be about? What characters? So I was always kind of like the initiator, the instigator, so to say, around creating things. And it's pretty much led me to where I am today, or, you know, taking on various creative projects in my young career at this point.
So you became a filmmaker, but I'm just still back into the days when you were a little kid. Were you storyboarding out your video games?
There's this one game, yeah, where I was storyboarding out. I think I remember having like a notebook, and it was maybe about half, you know, half full of notes of different character developments, and yeah, the different like levels that, you know, what they kind of looked like. I wasn't that great at drawing, but I was more of a words kind of guy, so I wrote everything out. But I wasn't exactly storyboarding it, but I was creating the visuals through words. And I remember like getting together meetings with my friends. I was super serious about it, and a couple of them were serious, and then, you know, it kind of fizzled out. But I was the one leading the project. I wanted to reach out to Nintendo for them to pick this up. I think this was fourth grade, maybe third grade. So yeah, not exactly storyboarding, but like really, really kind of being the visionary, if you will, and getting my friends together to make this happen. I really wanted it to happen, but it eventually fizzled out. It was a fun project, though.
That is fabulous. You know, my daughter is a first-year college student, and last year at this time we did the college tour, and we went up to Rochester Institute of Technology, which has a gaming department, if you would believe it. And I was like, oh my God, these kids are going to be millionaires.
That's awesome. Yeah, gaming. I'm actually not a big gamer. I used to play when I was younger, mostly sports games, but gaming is a beautiful art form. You know, the story arcs, the visuals. I mean, it's just such a massive collaborative effort, you know, to actually put on to finish a video game. It's pretty amazing. So I don't know much about the world, but I'm certainly fascinated by it. Yeah,
that is just wonderful. I love your origin story. My wife teaches gifted kids. You could have been in her classroom the way you operated. I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. So, as you got older, you attended Skidmore College, which is a wonderful institution in New York State, and then you pursued a career in filmmaking. I'm wondering if you could tell us about that career experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So, to give you some context, a little background, I actually took some film classes at my high school. It was really cool. I guess it's pretty unique, but my, well, it's kind of funny. I'll make a long story kind of short. I used to take piano lessons, you know, when I was young, like most kids, about 7 years old and, or even younger. And I liked piano. And then I eventually moved on to saxophone, and it was the same teacher who taught me piano and saxophone. His name was Stosh, but he ended up being a music teacher in my town elementary schools. And then he eventually moved to the high school where he created this, recording studio class where you can I took that class. You literally learned how to record music and mix it and create a final track. Really cool. And then he also offered video classes, and so I took a video class. I think my first one was junior year of high school, and fell in love with video. I fell in love with just the creative aspect of it. I loved editing, kind of being in headphones and just lost in the visuals and adding music. So I got a little experience there. In college at Skidmore, actually, they didn't have any film, but I studied business, and I kind of knew I wanted to get into producing and film. And one thing led to another. I landed an entry job with this very small film group. It's essentially a startup company. There were about four people involved, and their bread and butter, you know, how they made money was really making beautiful high-end videos for real estate companies to help realtors sell their properties. But they brought me on initially because they were working on this project following, you know, it was just an idea at the time, you know, to follow startup companies in New York City and essentially follow the triumphs, the struggles, and what it takes to build a business. And so they brought me on, you know, when it was just an idea, and I had no idea what I was doing. Again, I had a little film background, but I didn't really know what I was doing. But I just went for it, right? It's kind of the entrepreneurial mindset. Like, you have an idea, you're excited, just go for it. You learn on the job. So I ended up finding the cast members for this reality show, if you will, following entrepreneurs. The company that I worked for, they were located in a WeWork. So I just, you know, it was actually, I think it was at WeWork headquarters. It's on Fulton Street in Lower Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
In New York. And, yeah, so there were like four different floors of WeWork offices. So I just went around knocking on doors. My sister actually joined me doing this. We just knocked on doors and, you know, got the interest of different people if they want to be part of the show. You know, most people said no, but eventually I got three groups to join, and it was a really amazing experience just learning about their the struggles that it really took to build a business, but, you know, just the heart they had in their particular industries and what they were really trying to solve. And it was a good mix. It was, there's this one tech startup guy. He was creating this app to essentially help people get gratuities, you know, digitally, kind of like Venmo, but for gratuities. And he did pretty well, but it looks like it fizzled out a couple of years ago. And then other guys had an events management company. And then we followed to women entrepreneurs who were in interior design. But it was super fun, Dan. I mean, I did everything. I produced it. So I was, you know, I was getting all the paperwork done for locations that we shot out. I was organizing the talent. I was doing camera work. I did some editing. So it was a really good intro to filmmaking. And I was with that company for about a year. We did three episodes for that. It was called Wall Street Startups. I think you could still find it on YouTube. Yeah, it was fun. They're about 9-minute episodes. But it was really good. And then I actually ended up, maybe you want to get to this next, but I left that, and then I ended up wanting to get more involved in impact in the startup scene. So I took I took a quick leap to a different career pretty early on.
Is that what brought you out to Boulder, Colorado?
No, I actually came out to Boulder, about 2 years ago. I actually, you know, I was in New York. The West had been calling my name for a long time, but I actually came out here for my girlfriend. We were doing distance for a little bit, and she brought me out here. And I never thought I'd end up in Boulder, not that I was ever opposed to it. I just thought I'd more end up maybe in Seattle or San Francisco, but Boulder has been very wonderful. It's a fantastic place to live. So I am super grateful to be here.
Boulder has a sense of place like no other. Such a great town.
It's beautiful, clean, very innovative. A lot of impact startup tech here. Just a lot of creatives, you know, tons of entrepreneurs and pretty wild, wildly talented outdoor athletes, from climbers to, you know, long hikers. I don't even know half of it, to be honest. I just play disc golf. That's my thing. But
so, yeah. So let's dig into your work. Tell us about Serenity Labs and your corporate mission. What are you all about?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. So really, when it comes down to it, Dan, a lot of mission-driven leaders and entrepreneurs, you know, end up sacrificing their health in order to scale their business, right, to scale up. And we're here as a support system to train these entrepreneurs in ways to manage their lifestyle, their mental well-being, implement conscious leadership tools in their organizations and for themselves, you know, so they can really unlock new levels of vitality and well-being while growing their business. So it's really, you know, we kind of act as this support system and teachers, if you will, to help these entrepreneurs prioritize their well-being and their life outside of their mission so that they don't burn out and so they can enjoy life. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs are so caught up in the hustle or so caught up in generating profit and building their teams because they're so passionate about what they do. But sadly, it often leads to burnout, which means, you know, I've talked to many folks who have burned down on their first business and they, you know, they were hospitalized. That's how badly they were burnt out. That's how badly they were exhausted. A lot of entrepreneurs work so hard and wake up and their relationships have crumbled, whether they're romantic or their friendships, or they haven't been showing up for their family. And, you know, at Serenity Labs, we don't think that that needs to be the case. And it's not good for anyone. It's certainly not good for them, the entrepreneur. And ultimately, it's not good for their business. A lot of research has come out that, you know, when people are happy, you know, business leaders, when they're happy, when their life is nourished from a holistic lens, they perform better at work. You know, people like to be around them, which means, you know, they're going to attract better talent, that their teams are going to, you know, be able to communicate with them better. So it's actually helpful for their business, for their bottom line and their impact by taking care of themselves. So a lot of entrepreneurs lose sight of that. And we're here to basically help them, you know, keep that in their sight and prioritize it.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, entrepreneurs, and I've been one many times. I consider myself a full-time entrepreneur. When you operate in short bursts of energy, you rely on the autonomic brain, which is the reptile brain, the fight or flight mechanisms.
Right.
That's all adrenaline. You can't last very long like that. You get sick. You get cancer. You develop eating disorders, sleep disorders. Your relationships crumble.
Yep.
And I think you're doing a noble service because we need entrepreneurs to flourish. We also need them to be healthy.
Yeah, right. And they're not going to flourish and they're not going to, you know, be successful if they aren't healthy, right? It's like health is wealth and it's in that order. You know, you need to be healthy in order to generate wealth for yourself and your communities and so on and generate positive impact. So, you said it really well, like entrepreneurs are running off adrenaline and that's a ticking time bomb.
Exactly.
You know, adrenaline is not sustainable. and so we teach them how to be.
Would you share with us an example of a success story that you're really proud of? If somebody, a client of yours comes in and they're at intake, I don't know if you call it intake, but they are frazzled. What are you proud of that you've been able to affect with an example of a CEO or an entrepreneur that you've worked with? And how has their life gotten better?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So one story comes to mind. You know, we're working with a couple guys who are building a fund, an impact fund for cancer. So essentially supporting entrepreneurs who are creating solutions for cancer through business. And one of the guys has, you know, before this, he was an engineer, you know, his whole life was work, work, work. Mm. And that's kind of the mentality he's brought into building this fund is work, work, work. And he just confessed to us the other day that, you know, he is unhappy. You know, he's like, he loves what he's working on, but outside of it, he doesn't have a life. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have a reason to leave the office. And we're proud of him for being vulnerable and brave enough to admit that. And so, you know, this is pretty recent, but, you know, we encouraged him to, and I encourage any of your listeners to do the same if they feel similar to this. Is, you know, a great antidote to creating a life outside of work is being conscious and journaling on what is play for you. You know, asking yourself, what is play for me? Like, what brings me joy? What activities, what things do I like to do that make me, you know, giddy like a child, right? That I get so excited that I think about it all day. And for some, and that can be very different, right? For some people, it's playing golf. For some people, it's swimming. Some people, it's improv or playing music, whatever it is. But whatever that is for you, you need to prioritize that in your life. You need to schedule it in your calendar like you do a meeting, right? And you stick to it. And the beauty of this is that it actually rests your work brain, right? You turn on a different part of your brain and your work brain's able to rest. And what it does is it actually increases your productivity, increases your mood. It also increases your creativity. Because if you're just thinking about one problem all through the day, you're just grinding it down. You actually need to let your brain rest and let the subconscious, the unconscious mind, if you will, kind of figure it out on its own. And that's what happens when we're in play. That's just one thing that happens. You know, obviously we're having fun. So, you know, he never really thought about it in that way. He's just kind of putting a lot of pressure on himself to figure it out, to like meet friends. But I was like, hey, man, let's take a step back here. Just what is play for you? Let's get clear on that and find groups where you're at. Find some friends who are into what you're into and just do it. And, you know, it's pretty recent, but it just kind of was a paradigm shift for him, you know, and he was so energized by it that I think he's living life a little differently now. So it's exciting to see that. You know, it kind of boggles my mind that some leaders don't really think about life outside of work, right? And if they do have life outside of work, many leaders do, like family, you know, they're not very present with them. So that's something we really try to bring into people's consciousness.
Some of our listeners are familiar with the term conscious capitalism, which is based on success beyond profit to include positive impacts like planet and people. How have your efforts worked out to create and scale conscious entrepreneurship?
It's a good question. Well, you know, our Serenity Labs community, we only accept entrepreneurs who are working in a conscious way, who are, you know, their business has innate value in it for the environment or for people. And for instance, you know, we're working with guys who are starting a cancer impact fund, right? So solving solutions for cancer. We have some guys who are in renewable energy. One has his own engineering business, installing solar around the country and even the world, actually. Another guy in the renewable sector who he has created technology that takes energy from waves, essentially tides from the ocean, which is obviously a renewable source. So indeed, really cool stuff. And obviously, you know, that is impactful in its just its own mission, right? Just in a renewable sense, like you're making money by creating more renewable energy. Therefore, it's helping the planet. It's also helping people because you're helping the planet. We need our environment to be healthy. So I think our mission, you know, our community really acts as a support network and kind of an impact club, if you will, of people who have impact inherently built into their business model, and they're able to talk about it and relate to one another and up level their own impact. So the conscious business and conscious capitalism movement is picking up a lot of steam. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of B Labs B Lab or B.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I figured you have. Yeah. So they're playing an instrumental part in it. There are over 3,000 B Corps across the world right now, which is really incredible. You know, for listeners who aren't aware, you know, B Corps go through this rigorous exam that or certification process that B-Lab, the company, has created. Mm-hmm. And it looks at your business fully holistically, from the way from your suppliers and how they're, you know, conscious of the environment and their own people, from your own company culture to pay gaps to your impact on the environment. So it's a real rigorous look. And you have to have a certain score to get certified, meaning you're doing a good job, and they're over 3,000 now. So that's been hugely instrumental. And then another thing that's cool too, is that a lot of investors are waking up that, you know, really the way to make money, you know, for your dollar to go the long yard, is to have impact attached to it, you know, have a planet and people bottom line, mm-hmm. because that's what consumers want, right? And consumers are waking up, and businesses have to, and investors have to respond to that. So anyway, I went a little off tangent for your question there, but I think our support is helping these leaders have a community to chat about their unique issues as an impact organization and really get support.
So let's talk about your baby, the Conscious Leader Podcast. What's that about?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. So we, on the Conscious Leader Podcast, basically I talk to guests in the impact space, whether they're entrepreneurs, investors, coaches, they can be healers as well, that, you know, really have a heartfelt mission of helping the planet and or humanity as a result. So it's really kind of a business show, meets personal development, meets environmentalism, meets social good. And yeah, I mean, that's basically the show. You know, we've had 55 published episodes so far, talking to leaders of all kinds. And, you know, the conversations range from spirituality to, you know, to scaling your business, to implementing more conscious leadership principles in your business, in your teams, to the sustainable development goals, and so on. So it really covers a broad landscape, but it's the common denominator is doing good, and doing good mostly through business.
How do you find guests usually?
In the beginning, it was just people that me and my business partner, Arya, knew, and we'd just reach out to them and we'd ask them who they thought were good guests. But I have actually been using LinkedIn to find aligned people, mm-hmm. you know, using different tag words like conscious capitalism or environmentalism or whatever it is, and just finding people who are a good fit. And I just send them a simple message, and we hop on a little chat beforehand, see if they're a good fit. And if they are, we book an episode. So it's worked out really nicely.
To my listeners, that's how Jake found me, through LinkedIn. So
that's right.
Great resource, not just for getting a job, but for engaging with people.
Absolutely.
So from all your insight working with clients and then interviewing podcast guests, what are the things that keep your guests and your clients up at night most?
Good question. You know, a lot of people I talk to, obviously everyone I talk to is in the impact space in one way or another. And I've heard a lot of people have just a lot of anxiety, like literally keeping them awake at night because of the environmental crisis, disasters happening, environmental, natural disasters happening all over the world, from the insane extreme fires in California, as well as Australia recently, and so on. So people are just anxious, really, about, you know, are we too far gone? Can we actually come back from the damage that we've done? And really, that's kind of the fire under their butt, their motivator to do the work that they're doing, mm-hmm. because of this fear, but also mostly because of the love for our natural world, and what it means for generations to come. So I think that is a huge one. You know, other ones are, you know, just sheer anxiety for other reasons around building their businesses. communicating compassionately and well with teams. And when that goes wrong, the anxiety that builds. So I think that keeps people up. And that's a reason some people listen to the show. It's just to gain some insights around building their business consciously. But I would say, yeah, those are probably the biggest two.
We end every podcast with the saying, our best days lie ahead. And I honestly believe that. I think despite all the crises we face, we're rising up to our opportunities. And because we are, ergo, our best days lie ahead. And I was asking how you felt about that. Do you feel our best days are ahead?
I it's an interesting question. I think our best days can be ahead of us for certain. You know, the advent of technology. I am cautious around getting complacent though around, you know, just assuming our best days are ahead, because I don't want people to get complacent because there's a lot of work that needs to be done, right? But I really do believe that if we get things right, if we really adopt renewable energy at a rapid rate and take care of our environment and you know, more money and capital is being put into solutions around that and more businesses are stepping up, which they are, I do think our best days can very well be ahead. There is a ton of work to be done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do. It's funny. If you look back on history and humanity, if you even go back, you know, 100 years ago or 200, 300 years ago, the quality of life that's increased is significant.
Sure.
If you just look from a bird's eye view, you know, child mortality, I read the stat, I think like around Ben Franklin's age, so a little bit before the United States was born, I think like 1 in 3, don't quote me on this, but something alarming, like 1 in 3 children died just from a child mortality rate. And, you know, I think from babies, and like 1 in 3 women died from childbirth.
Sure.
And just look how far we've come from there, you know, combating disease and solutions around, you know, just conflict in the world, and there are way less wars, and, you know, there's still a lot wrong, but we've from a high level, we've done a lot of good work. So I do think it's going to continue in that track. I just want, you know, people to stay motivated to keep making the world a better place. And I think the best way to do it is just, one, you got to take care of yourself and be kind to yourself, and make sure you're healthy. And two, show that same kindness to your friends and strangers, and you know, just be kind. Like when we spread kindness, it makes us feel good. We feel connected to others, and that spreads. It's contagious. And I really think that's a big answer. So, sorry, that's a long-winded answer, Dan, but I do think the best days are ahead. But like, everyone, keep the gas on the pedal, keep doing good work. There's a lot more work to be done.
I like what you say about being kind. I think that people who are involved in social responsibility beat themselves up because they feel like they haven't done enough, or they miss that, or they woulda, shoulda, coulda. And in fact, they are the people that need to be the most kind to themselves. They're doing noble
Absolutely.
Work. They are doing noble work. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about you. I was going to ask you what you're most proud of, but I want to ask you, what brings you joy?
Wow, I love that question. That's that's on brand. I like it, Dan. That's good stuff. What brings me joy? You know, I'm grateful to say a lot of things bring me joy. I'm actually realizing this more about myself. I'm a serious thinker in a lot of ways, but I love to goof off. I love, you know, hanging out with friends and you know, just getting silly and saying silly things or being a bit adventurous. So I love all my friends that I have in this world, and I choose them very intentionally. So that gives me incredible joy. Just my, you know, my girlfriend, my family, my closest friends. Other things that bring me joy, like I said earlier in the episode, like something that actually gets me giddy like a child that I love to do is playing disc golf. It's frisbee golf. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Oh man, it's pretty incredible. It's literally golf. You know, there are 18 holes. You know, either there's pars, you can get bogeys, birdies, so par, you know, so on. But it's played with frisbees, and they're different frisbees, discs actually is the correct term. So they're different discs that have different flight patterns. So you could throw a disc in the same way, it'll go straight and maybe go a little bit to the right. You could throw another disc the same way, it might go straight and fall to the left. And so they kind of act as like different clubs.
I got it. But it, sure.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful sport. It's very low impact on the environment. You can set up a disc golf course almost anywhere in any terrain. There are a lot of courses out here in the mountains here in Colorado and some in public parks here in Boulder. But it's picking up a lot of steam. Disc golf's all over the country. It's in Canada. It's in parts of Europe and Australia and Japan as well. But it's so much fun. It's low impact on the environment. It doesn't cost a lot of money to play. Literally all you need is one disc, and you can buy a disc for $5, a used disc. But it just brings me so much joy, Dan. I love going to – it brings me outdoors. Sometimes I play by myself, so it's nice and meditative. I love watching the disc fly. You get a workout out of it from hiking, and it's just a good way to spend time with friends as well. So that brings me so much joy. I any chance I get to talk about disc golf, I'll take advantage of it, because I can't talk about it enough, to be honest.
I can just feel the enthusiasm for this. You're like the best surrogate for this sport. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I actually tried. I started a business shortly after college. It was an eco apparel company specifically for disc golfers, and it lasted for about a year. It was a lot of fun, but it wasn't too sustainable financially, and maybe I'll revive it someday. But just to give you a sense how much I love it, I started a business around it, so it's a passion of mine, no doubt.
Sounds like so much fun. So on my podcast, on the Tightrope podcast, we help people find and do meaningful work, and certainly the work that you do, Jake, at Serenity Labs and on the Conscious Leader podcast has certainly had a profound and joyful effect on you. So if somebody were listening to this podcast who is stuck in a work role that has turned sour, perhaps even meaningless, and what I mean by meaningless is maybe the work lacks direction or it's toxic. Maybe you're working with toxic people. Maybe the mission changes on a daily basis. You got hired for one thing and now you're doing something else and it's become meaningless because it's not your sweet spot. So my question to you is, how would you encourage our listeners to seek and do the work of their dreams?
Well, one thing came up, I was thinking, Dan, when you were talking, that if, you know, for those who are listening, if you're not really finding meaning at work, ask yourself, you know, what's going on? Like, where are the gaps? Like, where am I not feeling the meaning? Is it, maybe it's from the company culture, right? Maybe you're not valued as much as an employee, or you want more flexibility, or maybe you just want to be in a completely different industry. Mm-hmm. But see where the gaps are. See what's not, you know, it's what's really not serving you. It's what's frustrating you. It's bringing out negative emotion in you, and try to pin that and get to the root. On the more positive end, actually, to build off that too, it's just asking, like, the first key it really is to figure out what you don't want to do, right? And that's usually pretty easy. Like, right. I don't want to be in a bureaucratic organization. Okay, then maybe startups are for you. Or I don't want to, you know, I don't want to work for a bank or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Just figure out what you don't want to do. It'll narrow the options. And then ask yourself, like, again, like you asked me, Dan, like, what brings me joy? Right. Like, what am I genuinely passionate about? Like, what do I want to contribute to in the world? What excites me? Like, thinking about what conversations you've had recently that, like, you were just in the flow and excited you, and you kind of lost track of time, right? So it's creating awareness around what really brings you joy and excites you, and combining that with what you want to do in the world, like what do you want to contribute from what lens, is a good place to start. But it's all about awareness, and it kind of leads back to having a mindfulness practice, whether it's meditation. Highly recommend meditation, yoga. You can also just take a walk through wherever you live mindfully. You know, be mindful of the colors in the sky, the clouds, or the sounds on the street, or feeling your feet against the ground, right? So there are many ways to be mindful, but the reason why mindfulness is so important is because it creates awareness. And it's actually like a muscle. You can strengthen it and therefore be more aware of your emotions, and when you're getting frustrated in work, and what is really not serving you. And then you could really discover more about yourself and take action that to create more meaning. So I hope that's helpful for your listeners, Dad. I kind of said a lot there, but it does. The root is really mindfulness.
I think that's sage advice, Jake. I appreciate you joining us on the tightrope. Before we part ways, I was wondering if you could point our audience to your various social media channels.
Absolutely. So one place to find me is on Instagram. It's just @JakeMitchell, all one word. Mm-hmm. I'm not too active on it right now, but I'd like to get more active. So that's one place. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So you could find me, Jake Mitchell, on LinkedIn. There are probably a gazillion Jake Mitchells on there. So, you know, I'm Jake Mitchell, located in Boulder, co-founder of Serenity Labs. So that should narrow it down for you. I would do that. And then check out my podcast, please. It's ConsciousLeaderPodcast.com, or you can search The Conscious Leader Podcast on any, you know, podcast apps or wherever you listen to it. You can find it there. I'd greatly appreciate any follows or feel free to reach out to me directly at my email, jake@serenitylabs.co.
Well, you have a terrific podcast, and I have already been your guest, and yes, so I truly appreciate the return favor for you to be our guest on the tightrope. Jake Mitchell, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Dan, I appreciate you. This is so much fun. Thank you.
Our thanks go out to Jake Mitchell for walking the tightrope with us. Links to his social media are included in the show notes for this episode. On the tightrope, our success is your success, but we cannot build our community without your help and support. So if you haven't done so already, please join the Dan Smolin Experience to get our newsletter offering information, tips, and hacks to help you to succeed in doing meaningful work. To sign up, simply click the Subscribe to the Dan Smolin Experience newsletter button on our homepage at dansmolin.com. Fill out the short form, then click the Subscribe button at the bottom of the page, and you'll be on your way. Also, become a regular listener of the Tightrope with Dan Smolin podcast. You can easily find current and past episodes by keywording the Tightrope with Dan Smolin wherever you get your podcasts. And please show your support on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You can locate our social media buttons at the upper right corner of our webpages at dansmolin.com. From Washington, D.C., this is The Tightrope. I'm your host, Dan Smolin. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Have a great and successful week, everyone.